Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Josh. Thanks for asking. You've heard of this TV show called Billions. Have you watched any of Billions yet?
I watched like 20 minutes in a hotel once and I liked it. I liked the 20 minutes I saw.
Well, I'll tell you, a TV show that you're going to like more is Millions, and that is a TV show all about how you and I and the Always Cheating podcast just crossed 1 million downloads.
That's true.
In the lifetime of our podcast, which is huge. I honestly don't think they're going to make a TV show about it, but it's fun to dream.
It's amazing, that two Americans talking about the Premier League was actually able to cross the 1 million mark. We actually probably crossed it a while ago because there's a lot of different ways that our feed, it doesn't actually get picked up by SoundCloud, but it's really nice to have that nice 1 million, showing there on the SoundCloud page. So thank you to everyone who listens to the podcast. Very sincerely. I don't want to go on too long in the self-congratulatory way, but it's very cool. We've been kind of looking forward to this for the last month or so as we got close to 1 million. So again, thank you everyone who listened. It's really, for us at least, a huge and, really excited to accomplish it.
Yeah, it's a cool milestone. So that's the good news, right? What about the bad news? Game week 31, anyone?
Yeah. So I have I was thinking about game week 31 yesterday. And so I finished on a meaty 36 points. And that's with an 8-point hit. So I guess I technically finished on 28 points on the game week. I made one trade that I really regret. I moved Matt Doherty to Declan Rice. And that was a decision made based on me deciding that I wasn't going to have Matt D for game week 32. And then he blanks in game week 33. And I just thought, if West Ham are going to keep a clean sheet to anybody, it's going to be at home to Huddersfield. And I was like, worst case scenario, they concede one goal. Maybe he gets a goal or an assist. He actually almost got an assist in the first 5 minutes. Maybe it'll cost me 2 points max. But of course, in the end, they concede three to Huddersfield. They should concede about four or five.
If Carlin Grant was actually on form, then yes, he would have scored five on West Ham.
So, that didn't work out, and that ended up costing me 3 points, which in the end isn't that, big of a deal. I don't really regret moving in Callum Wilson or Eden Hazard, even though they didn't do anything. I feel like those were the right moves. Josh King, did a little bit of light trolling on his part to brace, after blanking last game week, but that's just how it, works out sometimes. But my feeling actually was that my game week actually would have been even worse if I hadn't made some of the moves I've made in the last few game weeks. I probably would have dropped Lucas Digne at some point in the last few weeks. I wouldn't have had Dwight McNeil. I wouldn't have had Felipe Anderson. And between those players, I had 19 of my 38 points, those three players who haven't really done anything. They've been stuck on my bench most of the last few game weeks. So it could have been worse.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I was thinking about your team, and it is a testament to something we talk about all the time, which is patience, which is so key to FPL. And all those players where Lucas Digne in particular, you're thinking, okay, I can't get rid of this Everton defender because they do play in the blank game week 31, but they're up against Chelsea, so the odds of them keeping a clean sheet are nil. So there is this temptation to maybe move on from Digne, but you held firm, you played the patient game, and you made the right decision, and you were rewarded. And same for a player like Felipe Anderson. I mean, he was everyone's whipping boy for the last month. And it's also on top of that, in game week 31, it was just a weird, wild game week, and all of our best laid plans, they really didn't come to be, and random heroes emerged. Enter Felipe Anderson, enter Kepa.
Kepa for sure. It was not a great game week. Burning eight's always going to be a big mountain to climb anyway. But in the end, I dropped. I was 2,066 overall last game week, 2,744 this game week. So I dropped under 700 spots all told. And that's just not that bad. I'm not going to be upset about that. I just don't feel like, I would be more upset if I feel like there had been a way for me to bring in Sadio Mane and I didn't do it. But for me, I wasn't going to burn another four to drop, one of Liverpool's fullbacks. I have Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold. I wasn't going to burn four to drop them away to to Fulham, you know, where both of them, I mean, God, how many crosses did Alexander-Arnold send in, you know, and like in corner kicks and stuff like that. I mean, all it took was one moment and he would have been on, you know, 9 points or, you know, I mean, obviously they had to keep the clean sheet, but, you know, so, you know, if I had, I mean, it was just like, I feel like this game week basically came down to whether you had Sadio Mane, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it really did. I myself finished on 22 points net. I took a -4 points hit. And the -4 actually was the best decision I made for the game week, and that was Madison in for Pogba. Mm-hmm. So Rashford and Pogba, both my Manchester United players, made way for Callum Wilson, the less said the better, and James Madison, who had an excellent free kick, and the proverbial yellow card. I mean, a small miracle that that yellow card didn't prevent Madison from getting his three bonus.
I was surprised. Normally that's such a BAPS killer, but he held on.
Yep. And I had a few bubble players that ultimately didn't make the starting lineups. Balbuena, perpetually injured, still sitting on the bench. It was bittersweet knowing that Pellegrini was really having to take his medicine because he didn't start Balbuena. He had to suffer that humiliation against Huddersfield.
Amazing that Ogbonna scoring a goal was so unjust. Given how he defended.
Yeah. And of course, my man Phil Billing, he mercifully came on in the second half to get me a much needed point, and then, as he's wont to do, got a yellow card. So that's a red arrow for me. I dropped about 6,000 spots. I'm now 17,910. On the whole, though, I'm just trying to decide, was blank game week 31 a fiasco, or was it actually exactly as we predicted? And it just proves hard to swallow the few days after, because we predicted that the point ceiling was going to be very low. I mean, the game week average was 26 points, incredibly low. So red arrow, green arrow, it's likely not going to make or break your season. It's really kind of how the chips are rolling out. And a lot of people are, you know, really painful triple captain deployments or free hit chips. And some free hit chips did work out. So on the whole, would you call this a fiasco?
No, definitely not. I mean, it just wasn't. I mean, I'm looking at the dream team this game week, you know, the collection of the best players you could have had. I mean, it's Chicharito, who didn't start. You had Josh King, who was kind of supplanted as the forward for Bournemouth. I mean, if you had him, it's because you made the move like 2 weeks ago to bring him in. You had, you know, Grant on Huddersfield, nobody has him. You have Bakuna on Huddersfield, no one has him. You know, so it's like Madison, Mane, no one has Babel, right? I mean, Ryan Babel was in the dream team this game week, right? It tells you everything you need to know. You know, Wes Morgan was in the dream team. You know, Ogbonna was like maybe a doubt, like maybe he wasn't even going to start this game week. And then Coleman, you know, was facing Chelsea, you know, at home, like every chance he could have, you know, and then even Kepa was dangerous to bring in because you worry that he's still on the outs of sorry, you know. So, I mean, you just look at the best players this game week and, you know, you can make an argument against any of them. You know, even Sadio Mane, there was this kind of doubt because he wasn't shown in the training photos on Friday. And then apparently he limped off in the end of the Champions League. I don't know. It was like we probably are making too much training photos, but it was true in the case of Aubameyang. So it's weird.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention you sent out a funny tweet on @HailCheaters, our Twitter feed, where you tried to imagine the size of the red arrow you would have gotten had Mane actually appeared in any of those training photos.
Exactly. That saved my game week. I think it's
All right. Speaking of luck, we got a message here from our friend Eric Freeman, who asked, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, and I'm sure this is why you brought in famed Irishman Declan Rice into your squad, Josh. Eric wants to know, who are you giving a green beer to in honor of them as the luckiest FPL asset in the game?
Wow. The luckiest FPL asset. Just, is this overall or is this in the actual game week?
I guess let's limit it to game week 31. I feel like you kind of have to give it to, I mean, it really does seem unfair to call anyone a lucky asset because FPL
It's got to be Ogbonna, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say Josh King. I was going to say Josh King because he basically stole all of Callum Wilson's lucky charms, as it were. Right. But yeah, I think you're right. Ogbonna is the guy.
I think if you concede three at home to Huddersfield, who had not scored a goal on the road since Boxing Day, and they really should have scored four. And I actually think he would have got a billion assist on that fourth goal. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, for him to end up on 7 points in the Dream Team is that's very lucky indeed.
It's the luck of the Irish right there.
Yeah, that was actually a fun game. Did you watch that one at all? I watched most of that game.
I was watching the goal rush for much of that session. So I was getting drips and drabs of every game.
Exactly. Okay, gotcha. I was double screening it. So, all right, Brandon, let's get into the podcast. So this is the first of a two-part podcast. We're talking, obviously, about Game Week 32. It's a massive game week. A lot of us have been, you know, we're finally free of Game Week 31. We have kind of like a mini blank in Game Week 37, but it's a little easier to prepare for. We've kind of already laid down a lot of the groundwork there.
33, right? Game Week 33?
Yeah, so we have 31 behind us. We've got 33 in 2 weeks, but then 32 is the main attraction.
Tell me this. Do you think this is real magical thinking? If I'm now viewing Game Week 31 and Game Week 33 as a double game week. And maybe that's to help me believe that all the points aren't fully in for game week 31, of which I scored 22.
It's a nice way to think about it.
It does feel like because our teams aren't, if you didn't free hit in 31, if you tried to build a team for 31 and then you're free hitting in 32, it feels to me like I've got the same team set for 31 and 33. So that's kind of how I'm viewing it.
It is kind of weird. Yeah. And because Palace now have a fixture, I have all these, I actually have like something like 13 players for that game week. So I have a little room to move. And the big question for me is, am I really going to hold on to Higuain? Because I'm just so down on him right now. Yeah, and sure. Arsenal play, and I'm just like, you know, let me just move to Aubameyang. Like, just do it a game week early. They've got a double and coming up at 35. So we'll see. We'll talk about, you know, 33. Let's talk about that in a couple of weeks. So I say that's a two-part podcast because we have the international break, you know, going on over the next 2 weeks. We actually don't know exactly when a lot of the double game weeks will be confirmed. I think there's only four confirmed right now for game week 32. There's five that were expecting to be announced. I mean, Man City playing Fulham at Cardiff looks almost guaranteed.
Yeah.
But a couple
even
other ones like
Pep even said in some interview or press conference is that as much like he kind of confirmed that Cardiff match. Yeah.
Exactly. I saw that too. So, so there's a few that we kind of expect, but we just don't know. And so we thought rather than get, you know, two down in the like the nitty gritty about like the perfect Game Week 32 team, we're going to go team by team and just talk. We're going to do some like the always cheating power rankings of all 20 teams. Okay. We do this periodically, about once every quarter. We look at all the teams. So we're going to look at all of them. We're going to look at the, you know, there's only, you know, 7 game weeks left on the season. We're going to pick out a couple players we think can help you. I will obviously be keeping an eye on 32 as we discuss it. And then in part two of the podcast, which we'll do in a few days, we're going to get really into game week 32 proper, you know, and we're going to reveal our double game week teams, our free hit chip teams. We'll talk about, you know, so we have a lot of questions specifically about free hit chips, free hit chip strategy. Some of that we'll talk about today. A lot of that we're going to talk about in the podcast in a few days. So just wanted to lay that out there right now. Brandon, first though, we have some patrons to thank.
Absolutely. Big thanks to our new Lord Sorloth or Surlot patrons, depending on what part of the world you're from. Erlen Sorensen, Michael Ornenheim, and James Doncaster. Big thanks to you guys. And at the Mbakani level, big thanks to Blake Young, Jamie Pride, Chase Brandon. Is that a name that they're trying to chase me in the overall rankings?
In the rankings, yeah.
Matt Knott, Oyen Alexander, apologies if I butchered that name there, Russell Irving, and John Cogman. So those are our new Patreon supporters. Welcome to the team. Of course, Patreon is a way where you can just thank Josh and I for what we put into the podcast week on week, and it's also a way for you to get new podcasts in return.
Yep.
Right now we're doing two podcasts per week. It's the free podcast, which we release every Sunday or Monday or thereabouts. Later on in the week, just for our Patreon supporters, we have a special feed where you get our kitchen table sessions pod.
Yep.
We have a bonus point podcast episode coming up, our book review podcast as well. Lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, we're actually recording a double, two podcasts for patrons, I think on Thursday of this game week. So, oh wait, we can't do it on Thursday. That's NCAA tournament, Brandon. We'll have to sort all this out in the future. But we got lots of podcasts. We're going to do something like two or three Patreon podcasts over the international break. So keep an eye out for those. And Brandon, just, you know, if you'd like to support the podcast, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. As you, just said, did you say it or not? I can't remember now. I wanted to really like hit home. If you didn't say it,
Man, drive it home.
Yeah.
Drive it home.
All right. Always Cheating Super League, Brandon, we got a top 10 here. Should I read it 1 to 10 this time? Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Start at the top. Give top billing to the best manager.
Yeah, no one's like sitting around like knitting their hands like, oh, wait, am I in the top 10 or not? Like waiting for the reveal. All right. Number one is Pajolski Miroslav Pujic, who is ranked 16th overall, 1-6 overall. Nacho Macho Man Michael Shannon is in second. Richard Jenkins, who is a nice guy. He's a, you know, a Twitter friend as well. He's in third overall. I'm sure everyone in this top 10 is a nice guy, Brandon, but I know for a fact that Richard Jenkins is a nice guy. The Gudersons, Callan Hewitt is in fourth. Fantasy Fox's Andy Sullivan in fifth. The Crazy Gang, Sir Ido Nygren, is in sixth. Landro's 11, Christopher Landro, is in seventh. Think Before You Transfer, I like that team name. Alexander Arkhipov is in eighth. Pleased to Meet You, a classic name, Brandon, a throwback to the Swansea legend. Lucas Rutherford is in ninth, and No Transfer Lane, Matty Fossum, is in 10th. Top six managers in our league are all in the top 100 overall, and all top 10 managers in the top 200 overall. So congrats. Yeah, I'm having like my best season ever, and I like have just, I'm like just cracked the top 100 overall in the Always Cheating Super League. So it's very competitive. Yeah.
I'm 416 in the Super League right now. It is the greatest league on the planet.
17,000 overall. Yeah, exactly. It's
never too late to join. Just go to alwayscheating.com and click the league tab. All right, we have before we get into the Always Cheating power rankings, you and I, we're both on our free hit, right, Josh?
Yep.
You've triggered yours.
Yep. Well, I actually haven't triggered it yet now, but
interesting. Okay.
Well, I got really caught up in the NCAA tournament stuff. That's where my head is. As longtime listeners will know that I'm also like a secret college basketball fanatic as well. Uh-huh. And so I was so enraged about Michigan State getting put in Duke's bracket after winning the Big Ten that I like basically just like went into like some kind of sports coma for 6 hours last night.
Let's take that one offline. But it only takes a second, Josh. I feel like your mm-hmm. parent, where I'm like, you broke curfew. I'm like, where mm-hmm. were you? You're like, well, mm-hmm. I was watching the NCAA tournament.
Well, I'm thinking about team building.
It just takes
stuff.
A second to call me. It just takes a second to trigger that free hit. Mm-hmm. Just trigger it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So my point here is we're both on the free hit, but there are still many other strategies at play out there. So we have this question from Secret FPL Player who says, mm-hmm. free hit 32 seems to be the preferred approach, but what are the advantages to perhaps this, a wild card in 32, a free hit in 33, and then a bench boost in the big doubles in game week 35?
Right.
So we've committed to free hit 32, wild card 34, presumably bench boost, maybe triple cap in 35.
Right.
What do you see when you look at Secret FPL Player strategy here?
Well, I like it as an idea. I mean, part of me feels like I've put in all the hard work to like build this game week 33 team. You know, I don't really want to waste it. You know what I mean? The game week 31 and 33 team. I don't know. I mean, I guess I like it as an idea. I think it could work. You know, part of the problem is that you might want, there are some players that you would want to load up on, like Chelsea players who you wouldn't necessarily want for 35. And so there could be someone loading me. You could just decide to just go without Chelsea players, even though they're playing in Cardiff and Brighton. I think that might be reasonable given like that they're kind of on the beach already this mm-hmm, season. Like mm-hmm. Based on the Everton game, I'm not sure they even care about the champion. I think half of them are like, well, I'm not going to be here next year anyway. So what am I playing for the Champions League?
More like 75%.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of talk of like doubling and triple up on Chelsea. I don't know. I mean, that seems like a lot. We'll talk more about them in a minute. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think about it?
For me, it's just more about as much real-time information as possible. And the wild card in 34... Okay, so the free hit in 32 allows you to make the perfect double game week squad right up to the deadline. Mm-hmm. And then the wild card in 34 offers you almost the same for the doubles in game week 35. The only downside to playing a wild card in 32 is that you're kind of banking on a lot of things to go your way leading up to the second double game week in 35. You're hoping that certain injuries don't happen, certain game weeks actually do, or certain matches actually get scheduled when they're when they're likely to get scheduled. So while I think it's a very valid strategy, you're leaving the door open just a little bit to chance, and that would be the one downside that I see.
Yeah, are you thinking at all about the triple captain? Is that enter your thoughts at all for? I don't know, as an alternative idea for 32 or 35, or have you thought about when you might use it, you know, in 36, 37 or 38?
Yeah, I haven't actually given the triple captain a whole lot of thought. It just feels like a little cherry on top right now.
Right.
The bench boost is feeling much more secure for 35, but there are certain players that you can flag, like Sterling Aguero, Harry Kane, who we'll talk about a bit more coming up, who, if they're in form and the matchups feel right in game week 35, then maybe the triple captain comes into play. But I think I like the double game week fixtures a lot better in 32 for a big haul. But I was just, like, you're looking at City having Fulham and Cardiff.
Yeah. I guess I was just thinking if you were to wild card, an advantage would be that you could play a triple captain in 34, which you can't do if you're wild card. You can't play a wild card and a triple captainship in the same game week.
Correct. Yeah.
So if there was like Man United play West Ham at home, you know, and so if you're like, you know what, my best chance of picking up points from a triple captain is triple captain Paul Pogba at home in 34, or even Spurs play Huddersfield at home, right? I mean, Harry Kane is like an amazing, option as a possible triple captain at home to Huddersfield. So, I don't know. So, I mean, that would be, I guess, the argument for doing it. I think I still feel like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like I've sort of mentally committed to a certain approach and just, it's kind of like, it was, you know, what it reminds me of is the argument for triple captaining Salah in game week 31, which like, I feel like was an argument that no one was really making until about 8 o'clock on Friday night. And then suddenly it was like, everyone was talking about it. And I had a moment where I was like, yeah, maybe this is a good idea. And then I was like, I can't do it because this late in the game, I can't commit to a strategy like this. It just doesn't feel like I've given myself enough time to like mentally think it through, you know, and it just feels too risky. And that's kind of how I feel about changing my strategy on the fly right now. I'm like, I committed mentally to the free hit in 32. If I do it, I feel like I'm going to miss something, you know, I'm not going to play it right.
So big takeaway here is stick to your guns. You have a plan. Trust in the plan, regardless of what it is.
I think so. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So shall we take a break and come back with the Always Cheating Power Rankings?
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, Brian, we're back. This is part one of our two-part Game Week 32 and Beyond preview podcast. So we wanted to go through, there's 7 weeks left in the season, Brandon, and that that beloved expression that everybody loves and gets very sick of very quickly, on the beach, is reemerging, right? Or West Ham on the beach? Is Chelsea on the beach? Who is on the beach? Who is already, you know, making plans for the offseason? Who's already, you know, if not literally on the beach, then metaphorically, like their head is already, you know, in Ibiza or whatever. Or they're, you know, they're on kayak.com, you know, booking some flights or whatever.
Sure. Their partner is like, got a good deal at Sandals Resort. How much longer is the season going to go on for? And then you've got those teams that are just full native at this point, just wearing their lungis and, you know, they've got banana leaves strapped to their feet.
So we're going to go through all 20 teams, but a couple of these teams we're going to go by pretty quickly. We're going to emphasize the teams that have doubles in 32, a little bit about teams that have doubles in 35 as well. But this is your team by team review with 7 weeks left in the season, Brandon. It's I think it's necessary because unless you go through all of these, I feel like you get like a little locked into a strategy, right? And you start thinking about five or six teams and you kind of, someone like Vicente Gaita might actually be a great option for game week 32, for example, right? I mean, you know, Crystal Palace play Huddersfield and Spurs, but he's 4.2 million, right? So if you're trying to build this like amazing free hit chip team, extremely good chance of a wild card in game week 32. But, you know, I feel like a lot of people are talking about Kepa right now, or I don't know. I just, you know, so I think that there's a lot of like, I don't know. I don't even know how much Guyton is under the radar for some people, but I feel like he is for others. So I don't know. Let's just go through them all, and maybe it'll be fun. Maybe it'll be terrible. I don't know. Like, this is, you know, we're just making this up as we go along.
I'm prepared to have fun. I'm prepared.
I'm ready too. All right. First team is Arsenal. They are in fourth place, Brandon. They are most certainly not on the beach. They had a really impressive comeback win in the Europa League. I was pretty pretty impressed. Mm-hmm. They pulled that out. I feel like that would not have happened last year.
I think all but one of the goals were scored against the rules.
Oh, really?
So
whatever.
that appears to be de rigueur at this point.
Who cares about the rules? Just wait till we have our podcast about VAR, Brandon. I'm really looking forward to that.
Great. Yeah. So their current competitions that they're in, they're obviously competing in the Premier League. But yeah, as you mentioned, they're still in the Europa League. Something to flag with Arsenal is just prior to game week 34, they have their next tie in the Europa League, Napoli.
Yep.
Pretty major opponent right there for Arsenal to come into contention with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Although I feel like they are going to get the rest over the international break. I don't know if like Mkhitaryan or did Lacazette get called up for France? He doesn't normally, does he? So I don't know. I mean, this far into the season, I think that with them competing for the Premier League spots, you know, I mean, for the Champions League spots for next year, and then also in the Europa League. Obviously, if they won the Europa League, they would get a Champions League spot, but it's way too early to start thinking that way, you know. So they have to really kind of play ball. I mean, you know, just this last week they played, you know, Lacazette. Did they play Lacazette and Mkhitaryan in the second leg of the Europa League? I know that Mkhitaryan did start in the second leg of the Europa League, and then he started again a couple of days later. So
if you're asking me if I have total recall of Arsenal's Europa League starting lineup, then the answer is no, I don't.
Well, I Aubameyang did start twice, which I think there had been a little bit concerned about whether it was just sort of one in, one out with those two. And it seems like that is not the case anymore. And maybe there was obviously it was a little tricky for a while there because Lacazette had he was banned, you know, from the Europa League fixtures. So so that's what's going on with Arsenal. They do have they have one double game week coming up. It's not until game week 35. This game week, they just play in 32. They just play Newcastle, a good fixture, but I can't see myself having any free hit players in that one. Right? Like it's nothing sexy about that.
No, there's nothing sexy about Arsenal until we get to a game week 34 wild card, or even just game week 34, which they're away at Watford. Then the double is probably going to be Palace home, Wolves away. And Lacazette, who you brought up at 9.4, it's going to be tricky to see how a guy like Lacazette fits into sort of a templatized late season wild card, because Aguero and Harry Kane are going to be probably at the front of our minds. But I think he's in better form than Aubameyang, I think, despite Aubameyang's heroics in the Europa League the other night. And 9.4 is a little more palatable, again, if you're talking about those bigger premium strikers. So if you're talking about two players from Arsenal that could help you, I'm thinking about Lacazette. And then, of course, I don't even know who plays in the midfield for Arsenal. Do they have a midfield? We've been trying to make Iwobi a thing for two or three seasons at this point. So I immediately shift my gaze to Kolasinac at five mil. I mean, these fixtures are really pretty decent if you're looking at Palace, Wolves, and then Leicester, Brighton, and Burnley, who they're going to come up against the at the end of the season.
I think there's an extremely good chance that I have Kolasinac in game week 35. I don't see myself, although game week 33, there might be an opportunity there to bring in Kolasinac away to Everton. I don't know. Maybe there's a possibility there at least. There's a couple of players to keep an eye on, but they're a wait and see team right now. So let's move on to Bournemouth. They are 12th in the table, Brandon, 38 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would think that they're on the beach, but they've never really been that way under Eddie Howe. I feel like they'd never really fully checked out as a team, you know, like I don't know. Maybe it's because he always has kind of a smaller squad or I don't know, but it feels like they're always kind of, they're in it the whole year, you know?
I was looking at the Premier League table, and for whatever reason, I thought, well, I'm looking for born in this position. And I was just, my eye immediately went to eighth, ninth position. Mm-hmm. They were further down in the table than I even realized at 12th. I agree. It's not like they have anything to play for, but yeah, they're just not that type of team that disappears. And the only thing that the team can really do is push forward. That's the only thing that they're particularly good at, despite that defensive performance against Manchester City. So yeah, none of their defensive assets catch my eye. Well, I guess we should also flag Bournemouth do not have any double game weeks. So
yeah.
No one's bringing Bournemouth players in at this point in the season. I feel like if you have them, the debate is how long do you hold on to them, right?
I know none of them conceding that second goal was so annoying at the end of game week 31. It was like, you know, I had Boric and he had kind of right at the end there, he stomped an own goal, which got him his third save. And I was like, all right, fine. I'm getting out of here with 3 points, like whatever. And for some reason, when they conceded the second goal, it was like going from 3-2 isn't that much, but it was devastating. I was like, oh, I can't believe this.
You know? Yeah, so a week annoying. Like that, every point helps. Yeah, every point helps. It's true. So, I mean, I think a lot of us probably have a midfielder or a striker from Bournemouth that are clinging on.
Sure.
I think there's no way Callum Wilson survives past game week 33 in anyone's squad. I mean, well, that is kind of unfair because Bournemouth do have Fulham. Let's see. They play Fulham in the big double in game week 35. You couldn't possibly make a case that you cling on to a Bournemouth attacker while you've got all these doubles going.
No, this is really it. They have, I'm not going to have any in 32, and then I will have my two players in 33, and then they're gone. So Boric might be done after this season. Boric may play his last game week ever in my team in 3 weeks' time in 33. Isn't that sad? Poor Boric.
The dude is, he's 39 years old. Is that right?
I think so. Yeah, he's approaching Brad Guzan territories.
My God, we've seen some really old keepers in the day.
So this is it for Bournemouth. I mean, the thing about Game Week 33 that'll be kind of fun is, for a lot of us anyway, is that, you know, for any of us who are playing, who still have a wild card and we're playing it in Game Week 34, that transfer between 32 and 33 is great because it's like a free roll. You know, it's like you can just bring in a player for one game week and the future does not matter after that. So you're going to have like a few bonus options for this game week. You're going to have Arsenal play away to Everton. You're going to have Southampton. Everyone wants to load up on Southampton players, I'm sure. Crystal Palace away to Newcastle. I think that's it. But like even those like extra three teams or 14, whatever it is, like it just adds like a little more juice to the game week.
Yeah. Okay. Brighton, the next really glittering Premier League team that we get to power rank here.
Yep,
they're 15th in the table, 33. Lots to play for yet for Brighton. Mm-hmm. And they're still in the FA Cup. So they're facing Manchester City on the weekend of April 6th. No word on whether they play a Saturday or Sunday, but they will have multiple double game weeks coming up. However, who can you recommend from this team?
they're the single worst team to have a triple double game week. maybe Huddersfield will be worse, but yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, maybe one defender, but like the two double game weeks that are virtually confirmed, one is Southampton and Chelsea. I mean, it's like, okay, I guess the Southampton match. I mean, it's not a great, match. Like, I mean, it's okay, I suppose. It wouldn't shock me if they conceded a goal, though. And then you have Wolves and Spurs away in game week 35. That's not a particularly exciting double either. And then you have this other kind of bonus double, which would be Cardiff against somebody. And I mean, it could be Cardiff Newcastle in game week 36, in which case it's actually pretty good. But then, I have to tap my table here. But then after that, you've got Arsenal and Man City in game weeks 37 and 38. So you can't be more than like singled or doubled up because you don't want to have any Brighton players for those final two fixtures.
Yeah, this is where Glenn Murray really hurts the FPL manager. And I don't want to be too greedy, but the optimal situation is that you have an asset from Brighton that you know is going to play in all of these fixtures, and therefore you can maximize the odds of you getting a return. But if Brighton are packing these two fixtures in a single week, yeah. Murray yeah. is not going to start both of them, and that's a problem. Nope. So therefore, all their strikers are off the board. And I think you're then just yeah. stuck looking at Matt Ryan, Dunk, or Duffy.
Yeah, what about Matt Ryan as a triple captain in game week 36? Newcastle and
now you're talking my language.
Newcastle and Cardiff at home. Maybe Shane Duffy. I mean, I can almost guarantee if they play Newcastle and Cardiff at home at 36, I will have Duffy and I will at least consider triple captaining him. That would be amazing.
You live on the edge, my friend. You live on the edge. Yeah, I think right. the defense is yeah. really the only thing that you need to concern yourself with here with Brighton. Yeah.
Totally agree. All right, let's move on to Burnley. Burnley are, where are they? They're 17th in the table. They lost a game they really shouldn't have lost. I don't know how you uh-huh. lose 2-1 when was that red card? Like 5 minutes in? It was like
I think it was
early.
The third minute, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, super early in the match. And then, yeah, to lose 2-1 is just, that's just atrocious. And it makes you wonder if they actually might go down this year, if Cardiff can somehow... you know, like just hold on and nick that 18th, you know, the 17th spot. It seems possible.
Yeah, this is where you cue the Sarah McLachlan song, I Will Remember You, at least from the FPL manager perspective, because
yep.
they're leaving the real world house right now. Like Ashley Barnes, what a fun run it was for a lot of managers. But Burnley, yep. they're done. I mean, their run-in after game week 34 is Chelsea, Man City, Everton, Arsenal. So... it's done.
Yeah, that's brutal, isn't it? Wow. And what is Cardiff's run in? They have Fulham, Crystal Palace, and United. I mean, Fulham will probably already be down by game week 36.
Yeah, most definitely.
Palace is at home. They'll have a chance for sure. I mean, the thing about Cardiff is I've kind of come around on them a little bit this year.
Okay.
Like they're the next team in our list. So we can start talking about them a little bit. But like they can score goals, and it's just. If you're going to be a bad team, at least score goals, you know, like yeah. It's why like everyone likes Bournemouth and no one wants them to go down. It's like they just score goals. It's just fun to watch a team that can score, you know? Yeah. And I mean, yeah. So I feel like if Burnley do go down this year, they're going to have to look at, you know, game week 31 as the week when the week that put them down, you know? So I don't know. I mean, again, it's a little bit like Bournemouth in terms of fantasy. I mean, you have, you know, they do have a game week 33 fixture. They play Bournemouth away. They play Wolves at home in 32. But, you know, I'm not going to hold any Burnley players for that. You know, and then that's it. I mean, you know, maybe I keep McNeil for the game week 34 at Car. I don't know, but probably not. I mean, it's probably just this is the end for them. Beautiful for
it is. It's the end. It's a shame. I mean, I do hold hope that they will survive. I feel mm-hmm. like it would be a shame if Burnley were to go down after they did so well last season to mm-hmm. be punished with their Europa League campaign, which kind of torpedoed the start of the Premier League season for them.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm rooting for them, but not on my FPL side. So that brings us to Cardiff and Mr. Warlock himself. Mm-hmm. I'm recommending two players from Cardiff
okay.
City. One is Neil Warlock, because mm-hmm. I know, Josh, your room, it can be dirty sometimes. Uh-huh. And Neil Warlock, he can come over to your house. He can cast a magical spell, and mm-hmm. the pail with water and the broom will come out of the closet and clean your room for you.
This is like a Sorcerer's Apprentice sort of thing. Yeah. When you said he's a player, is he a player manager? Does he get on the pitch sometimes, like a Ryan Giggs style? Like,
oh yeah, he wears the molded the cleats. he wears the molded cleats on the sideline. He could definitely come in and put a shift in.
So they will have a double with Brighton at some point. And, you know, despite the fact that I'll be, you know, triple captaining Shane Duffy that game week. I mean, if they have a double with like, I'm trying to look, sorry, I'm just looking down here. If they play like Fulham and Brighton in game week 37 as a double.
Yeah.
Maybe you want one of those cheapy Cardiff midfielders, you know? I mean, you listed Danny Murphy and Camarasa. I mean, Camarasa in particular, right? That guy can score.
Yeah. Yeah, and at 4.5, these guys are, you can tuck them away, you know, depending on when you play your wild card or if you're off wild card and you're just looking for someone to tuck away on your bench in mm-hmm. the meantime. 4.5, great price for somebody you know who will have a cheeky double coming up. So, yeah, I don't want to completely dismiss Cardiff midfield, just like you say.
I don't know either. I just think it's they have a horrible double game week coming up in game week 32. I mean, it looks like it's going to be I don't think it's confirmed yet, but it looks like they're going to be playing Chelsea and Man City in that double. So, you don't really want any part of them for a few weeks. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think you just sort of keep them in the back of your mind. And sometimes it's hard not to be scared away by like just how cheap they are. You know, it's like, I have 6.5 million. I should spend on a 6.5 million player, you know? And sometimes I think you overlook a 4.2 million player. I agree. It's not really like it's not a priority to load up. We probably spent too much time talking about Cardiff already. So let's just move on.
Far too much. Okay. So Chelsea, certainly not on the beach. They are like Arsenal, engaged in a Europa League campaign. Right. And their
shouldn't
opponent
be on the beach though. I mean, they shouldn't be.
Even though they hate everything about their club and their manager, they still refuse to lose in Europe.
Yep.
And they'll be playing Slavia Prague on April 11th. They are currently in sixth place, so there is a dogfight if they want it to get into the top four. The doubles, big doubles coming up for Chelsea in game week 32. They will face Cardiff and Brighton and with all likelihood. So that incredibly appealing. You were talking about Kepa and their defensive assets. With Hazard, I think I'm fully embracing this devil may care attitude with him. Emotionally up and down with Eden Hazard all season. You know, he's hurt more than he's helped me this season.
Yeah.
But I have him right now in my team, and he is currently in my free hit. And yeah, I'm ready to rock with this guy.
I mean, did we watch the same Everton match or like?
Oh,
I don't know.
Chelsea looked absolutely putrid, and Hazard didn't. Well, he wasn't really afforded any opportunity to do anything. It seemed like he was the only player moving around.
This is like game week 30, though. It's like where is he going? You know, it's like he's on the ball a ton, and like he looks cool, like he's doing fun stuff. You know, it's like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's like linking up with anybody. I mean, it's like cool the way he dribbles into the left-hand corner, and like I don't know, it just like I know he had his moment of magic at the end of the Wolves match, but I mean they got their asses kicked by Wolves at home, and then a lucky goal by him in the 93rd minute earned them a point, and then they got their asses kicked by Everton, and now we're all talking about tripling up on Chelsea in game week 32, and I just don't feel it. I mean I might have 1-0 players from Chelsea in my free hit to team for 32. I mean, you just can't always look at fixtures. I'm sorry. And especially when you got a team like Cardiff in 32, who will send like virtually nobody to the internationals. Maybe a couple players will actually go to some of them will probably go to the Wales team or something. I don't know. But like, you're not going to have that many players away. I should have looked at this before we started potting. But so they're going to be fighting for their lives and playing Chelsea at home. It wouldn't stun me if Cardiff won that match. You know, and then the second match they'll play is Brighton at home. I mean, yeah, they'll probably win that match, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Brighton held them to like just one or two goals there as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, it's not like I do understand why people want to have them for 32, but I don't think it's like it should just be a given that you should be loading up on Chelsea players. I mean, we have a question from Dave C. From the Slack. He says, you know, can any Chelsea player be trusted at the moment? And I feel like the answer is no.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you, Josh. I totally agree. You can't trust these guys. Most of all, you can't trust Hazard.
Right.
I'm fully prepared to dismiss FPL assets like Higuain. I think that performance against Everton was even more damning for a player like Higuain than it was for Hazard, because, you know, like you were saying with Wolves, Hazard still can pull out that moment of magic. He also does have penalties as an arrow in his quiver. You could also make the case for, I mean, if you're going to look to the defense and say, if this team has any pride at all, maybe they can keep a clean sheet. And Azpilicueta's, in Sarri's system, he has gone away from being that central defensive guy back to his old days of being a winger down the right. And I think he looked like one of Chelsea's best. He looked Alonso-esque in that Everton game to me. And if I were to look at anyone specifically for a free hit in 32, Azpilicueta would be my guy.
Yeah, I think you're right there, and I think he may end up, and he's also such a lock to be just to play every week, you know. Yeah. So I mean, you know, certainly Alonso didn't earn himself any friends in that Everton game. I mean, this is a real problem on the left for them, isn't there? Because I feel like Emerson hasn't played that well there either, you know. No. So I guess they'll just have to get a new left back of the offseason, right? It's just not what a fall for Alonso.
Well, they should probably get a new manager as well, who's not a mean, brutish, bullying guy who makes everyone. Maybe it's because whoever's playing on the left. Well, I mean, I understand they switch sides, but maybe Sarri's at his meanest when they're playing down the left, and he's just screaming at Alonso.
They say this about Conte, though, or you know, Conte, whatever his name was, Antonio. They said this about Mourinho. Like, maybe this team is just like a little. But they've won the league twice in the last 4 years, so I don't know. I guess it works. I don't know, but like, it's a weird team. It's like it's our Real Madrid. Right, it's like the Premier League's Real Madrid. It's just like they just swapping new players and nonstop drama. All right, clearly I'm very fired up about Chelsea. I just like yeah, it's just like they should be better. You know, it's just like frustrating how they look so much this season. Crystal Palace, Brandon. This is a team I actually want to talk about.
Okay, do tell.
No, you tell me first. Right. I'll ask you. What do you think about Crystal Palace?
Here's the download on Palace. They're currently in 14th place with 33 points. Not close to the beach yet. They still have to put a few more wins there on the table before they're safe. Mm-hmm. Currently not in the FA Cup or any other competition, so they can rest, relax, focus on their Premier League fixtures. They have a double, a very enticing first fixture in game week 32, home Huddersfield. Then they go away to the inaugural Premier League match at Spurs' new stadium.
Wow. So that's confirmed?
That is confirmed that the first Premier League match at the Spurs' new stadium will be against Crystal Palace.
Wow. God, I did not realize that somehow. That makes me want Kane even more, I just realized. Like, that is just like such a moment where Kane could go off, right? Like, you know, such a big moment.
Yeah, for sure. Then they're away Newcastle, a couple of tough fixtures after that against Manchester City and Arsenal. And then the run-in for Palace, Everton at home, Cardiff, and then Bournemouth on the final day of the season. I have fond memories. Well, not so fond memories. I have memories of Crystal Palace going off in game week 38 last season. Patrick Van Aanholt scored a heap of FPL points. I didn't have of these guys. I think people are coming around to Palace just because they are getting these confirmed doubles. So you've got Guaita in goal. Are you intrigued by any of their attacking players? If you had to choose between Zaha and Batshuayi, who would you go for?
Well, yeah, Zaha's injured right now, so I guess that biases me towards Batshuayi a little bit. I mean, Batshuayi is a little bit cheaper, too, which I think helps. You know, Scari has 2 goals and 1 assist in the 6 game weeks, and that includes 2 matches he didn't start. So I like him. I mean, I don't think I'll have him for – the thing is, I held on to Raul Jimenez, and so I will – you know, I'm almost certainly going to keep Jimenez for 32. And I mean, I think the thing about, you know, Wolves, I mean, you know, we're going to get to them in a minute, but you know, Wolves have 2 double game weeks and, you know, pretty good run of fixtures kind of throughout the end of the season until game week 38. So, I don't see myself rolling with two cheap forwards in game week 32, but yeah, I mean, I like this team. I mean, I think, if you had Millie, you know, I think that might not be a bad player to have for 32.
David Strom wanted to know what we thought about Milivojevic and Schlupp. So Jeffrey Schlupp is, you know, he's like a who's Gray, Damari Gray on Leicester City, one of those peripheral characters where you kind of see the potential, and he's achieved something this season. But Milivojevic on penalties is a decent shout there.
Yep, I like Schlupp. I mean, if you didn't have AWB, I think Schlupp is a great option. I mean, even if you're only going to get one good fixture out of them in 32, I think that Huddersfield fixture is so good. And, you know, he has 3 assists in his last 4 matches, you know, 4 goals and 3 assists on the season. And they have one good fixture, and maybe he just gets you a point or two in the other fixture, right? Spurs away. I mean, it's that Huddersfield fixture, which is so good. And I think that that one alone is a reason to have a Crystal Palace player, maybe two.
Milivojevic at 6.3 million, that's too expensive for me, even for a guy deadly on penalties. There's just so much more I could do with that money in the midfield.
You wish he was 5.5.
You know, I mean, James Ward-Prowse at that price, who is just as deadly from a free kick 25 yards out as Milivojevic is from the spot. So, I think Batshuayi could prove to be an interesting differential if you're playing three strikers up front, and his ownership should remain pretty low throughout the rest of the season. So somebody to think about.
Yep, somebody to think about for sure. All right, Brent, a couple more teams, then we're going to take a break. First is Everton. They are in 11th place, which I guess feels about right. I might have thought they were top of the table, but I guess...
They're right up there with Man
City. Sorry, top half of the table. It is not top. I thought they were in first place. the no cup competitions. They're kind of in the same category as Burnley and Bournemouth, where it's sort of like we're kind of at the end of the road with them, you know. And they play Arsenal in game week 33. That's not a particularly good fixture. They don't have any doubles to end the season. I mean, they have a decent double 36 and 37 fixtures. They play Crystal Palace and Bournemouth Crystal Palace and Burnley in those two matches. But I think realistically, after game week 33, I'm done having Everton players.
Yeah, this is the type of team where if they're without doubles, there's really not enough in it for them. I mean, they're basically just playing to not get Marco Silva fired at this point. Right. However, Ian FPL Strategic says after the Everton-Chelsea result, should we be looking at Everton, or is the story actually they're avoiding Chelsea? I think you answered that question pretty succinctly, Josh, that it's Chelsea who... really were the story in that Everton Chelsea match.
Yep.
But
I think if you had your Everton defender and you got a clean sheet, it's like, you know, it's like in season two of Game of Thrones, you know, where they use the what is that stuff called? The like the stuff you light up, the flames.
Oh, the wildfire? Is that
the wildfire? Exactly. And then the ship captain's like, "All right, they did their trick. You know, now let's bomb the city." And it's like, "All right, I got my clean sheet. Somehow I pulled it off, and like now I just got to get out of there as quick as possible. Like I'm not going to get anything out of Everton."
All right, goodbye, Everton. It was fun while it lasted, I guess.
It was kind of fun at times. Fulham, Brandon, in 19th place on a meaty 17 points.
it's really hilarious right now. I've got two key players I want to highlight from Fulham.
Sure.
One is the ghost of Brian McBride. He lurks in the corridors of Craven Cottage. You can find him at McBride's. Pouring a frothy pint, if you ask nicely, and also if you look to the sideline
style,
yes, exactly. But you've been here the whole time, Anguissa. and the other player I'll flag is if you look to the sideline, he rarely gets a minute. But Billy the Badger, just a giant head, and I feel like if you put him in on a corner kick, he could probably do much better than Mitro has recently. What do you think about those two players?
I like them. I think that those are two I want to bring into my. I don't know if you saw my free hit chip squad, Brent. I did post one yesterday. I've got a lot of talent in that team. So
I know it's going to be hard to squeeze a ghost into that squad. But
yeah, I've got Smithy is my starting keeper right now, and I think that's where I want to put the ghost. So yeah, we'll see. But Fulham are a total pass the rest of the season. Let's just move right from Fulham to Huddersfield. I mean, Huddersfield, I think, are also pass. I mean, you know, congrats to them for scoring three futile goals because they lost 4-3. What a sad way to end that game. You know, it's like
the expression on the manager's face? Pellegrini was trying to shake his hand and the Huddersfield caretaker manager looked like he had just witnessed a fatal car crash of a family of five. It was really, really soul destroying.
I still can't believe I can't believe I got that Felipe Anderson assist. It was, I actually didn't, I wasn't watching the screen at that when that happened, and I actually thought it was off the corner, and so I thought it was a second assist for what's his name, the fullback, and I was like, "Are you kidding me,
Cresswell?"
Like, yeah, Cresswell, and I was like, "Every defender is going to get points in this game except for except for Declan Rice." But that was a crazy header. Like, it was a header like right in the middle of the box, and Chicharito just like found. But what a great player he is! He's obviously world class, but like not like, you know,
a story. He's a story player.
Exactly. It was a goal scorer's goal.
Yeah. All right, Huddersfield, we're throwing you in the bin of have a nice life. We'll see you in a couple years, maybe, if you're lucky.
I think this is it, Brandon.
They're never coming back.
They're never coming back. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's take a break. We got 10 more teams to go. All right, Brandon, we got 2 weeks to go before game week 32 kicks off. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be buying a new phone over the next two game weeks. And Brandon, when you get that new phone, you know, you have all the preset stuff on your phone. It's a bunch of crap, you know, things you want to just delete. Yeah, put it all into a folder. I was talking to someone about the calculator app recently, and I was like, yeah, I was like, I deleted that. I never used that. And they were like, I use the calculator app every single day. It's like, why would you do that? You just put it into Google. Google tells you, you do that. That's your calculator.
Wait. Why would you even go through the effort to delete it? It's not like the calculator app is taking up a bunch of space on your phone.
It's like a folder of stuff I don't want, you know. But Brandon, that's to clear space that my homepage can have starting 11. Just right at the top left corner of my homepage, so that I'm ready.
Prime real estate.
To create my team for game week 32, my perfect Saturday starting 11 team. Very excited about this. And you know, the beauty of a double game week, Brandon, is there like six different days you're going to be able to play starting 11. You can play for free and for cash prize. They've been doing cash giveaways on many of the weekends, the last few weekends. So it's absolutely free to play. And then it's like a free roll. You know, you just try it out, see if it's for you, and then you can win some cash money as well. Cash money.
Cash money. Cash moves everything around us, Josh. Cream. Like you say, there are no budget restrictions with starting 11. Any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches, just pick your best 11-man squad. You can challenge your friends. You can join cash games that are already just there available when you boot up the app. Anyone who is a pitch length away from you or closer, you can just geo-target them and challenge them. So you can find people in the stadium that you're at or in the bar that you're at who are also playing starting 11.
Join us at the Black Horse, do a little starting 11, like round robin of different people at the Black Horse. It's very exciting stuff.
So if you're on an iPhone, iOS, cash games are now live in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. Or if you're on an Android, cash games are live in the UK. Or yeah, just pick up the app and play for free wherever you are. Visit starting11.io for more details, helpful video tutorials on how to get the most out of the app. Or just visit Apple's App Store or the Google Play Store to download the app today. Josh, don't waste your money gambling on things that you don't understand. And there are many things that you don't understand. I know this, but you know FBL. Be smart, participate in a game that you do.
You got it. You nailed it. That's perfectly said, Brandon. Nice, good snap. All right, Brandon, we're back. Leicester City. It's a team. They're in 10th place. As I've said earlier this season, their role is to be in 10th place. They should always be in 10th place. Like, I like to,
I think if they're not winning the league, they should be in 10th place.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, that would be, I mean, for so many of these teams who are not like in the big six or big four or whatever, it's like, if you just like, or just 10, 10, 10, 10, 1, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, like that's, you'd kind of take that, right? Maybe like throw in a cup win every now and then. That's like,
sure.
It's pretty good.
If you're West Brom, you go 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, relegated. So, yeah, I think they would take that.
It was more like 14, 14, 14.
It was a steep drop off there for the Baggies. It's true. All right. So, Leicester City, they're on 41 points. I think if you could categorize any team that to be on the beach, that narrative does get disrupted a little bit because Brendan Rodgers has just come in and he's trying to sort of build a platform for next season. Players are trying to make an impression, as is Brendan Rodgers. So I think you can see things that would appeal here. The only downside is that Leicester have no double game weeks. So you're just kind of looking at the short term. Bournemouth at home in 32, then Huddersfield away in game week 33. I hope upon hope that if you didn't free hit in 31, that you brought in a Leicester player. I myself brought in James Maddison. A lot of people brought in Jamie Vardy. And yep. like I was saying, my magical thinking about 31 and 33 being a double game week, I'm going to get another bite with James Maddison. And I think he's one of those players that when you talk about who's trying to make an impression, who's Brendan Rodgers keying in terms of building an attacking lineup, I think he's the guy.
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, you're sort of you're turning my head here a little bit. Maybe I could go Felipe Anderson to Maddison. That could be my move. That wouldn't be bad. Okay, what is Felipe Anderson cost? $7.2 million. Good Lord.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, exactly. One assist. All right. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think Madison's the way to go. Vardy, I like. He's pretty expensive. And, yeah, I mean, basically, when we're talking about Leicester, I'm only thinking about game week 33, as I think you are, too. I think, you know, from there, I mean, maybe, you know, the problem is they've got a pretty tricky run out. You know, their next few fixtures are fine. I mean, you're not going to have them for 32 if you're free hitting. If you're not free hitting, then sure. I mean, you want to, you know, hold on to them for a little while because you'd have Bournemouth, Huddersfield, Newcastle in the next three. Even the West Ham game, 35 is not bad.
Sure.
But then Arsenal, City, Chelsea are their final three fixtures to close out the season. And, you know, two of those three are at home. I mean, so it's not like a disaster if you still have Maddison or Vardy or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I think if you have the luxury of still having a wild card to play with, I don't see, you know, I want to acknowledge that not everyone has the wild card and everyone's, you know, playing this way. But I do think it's probably other places to spend your money.
I do want to shout out Yuri Tielemans.
Sure.
Just by virtue of the fact that his name Tielemans sounds like a small grocery store or a coffee shop that you might frequent at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday. Hey, you want something? I'm going to Tielemans. Maybe I'll get you a bag of chips. But he's also looked really promising and bright going forward. It's funny, like he's stealing all of Harvey Barnes' shine over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's funny because on the one hand, you're like, yeah, he's too expensive at $6 million. And then you're like, well, he's got a goal and three assists. And, you know, what, the last four game weeks, it's pretty impressive. So, yeah, he's probably found a little under the radar. That price is tricky, though, for sure.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if I'm ready to talk about this, but Liverpool, it giveth, and Liverpool, boy, how it taketh away. Unless you're Sadio Mane, it was all bad news in game week 31. We were both doubled up on Liverpool defense. That was bad news.
Can I ask you something?
Okay.
Did you think it was insane the way people were blaming Alisson for that goal being conceded?
No, I didn't. I think it was Virgil van Dijk was waving Alisson on like the moment that ball was in the air. He was like, please come solve this problem. This is a problem.
I just think it was raining. I was all James Milner's fault, in my opinion. It was just a horrible shank from James Milner.
Yeah. I mean,
bad that it threw everybody off. Like nobody, you know, it was like he was trying to score an own goal from midfield. It was insane.
Alisson can use his hands, though. He can solve that problem. I think you're right that James, obviously the problem began with and was created by James Milner. We won't let him get away with this, but Alisson, come on, just grab the ball with your hands.
Yeah, I know Alisson. His aim was not true in that one. That was
beautiful.
And then it fell right to Babel. That was silly.
Okay.
You had
something you had to get off your chest there. I have something I have to get off my chest. So Babel makes this ludicrous display of not celebrating the goal. Meanwhile, his hair is red. by virtue of his head, he is celebrating that goal.
What did Liverpool do for him? Why is he like? He's like not celebrating. Like, did he even like play like a minute for them? Like in the Premier League itself? Like, why is he not? It's the silliest non-celebration we've seen in some time. It was
the best. The best joke that came out of that was I was in some Fulham fan forums, and they were complaining about how the club sold all these tickets to Liverpool supporters or non-club members.
Yeah.
So there were Liverpool fans seated in the home ends, and they were complaining about how no one was celebrating the Babel goal because they were all Liverpool fans. And then somebody made the point, well, Babel didn't celebrate it either. So it was like a goal that no one was celebrating in that entire stadium. It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, okay, he has played for Liverpool. I mean, God, I don't even remember this now. Like, I barely remember. But yeah, it was his last minutes for Liverpool were in 2011. Maybe like 8 years. That's like, that's two presidential terms. Like, that's, you're allowed to celebrate a goal. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, give it up, we're Babel. In agreement. Okay. Okay, so we've got a few comments here. Well, the first one comes from Savage Monks. Hail cheaters, should we triple up on Liverpool assets considering the fact that they don't have any double game weeks? And also a good friend, Uppercut Panda, asks, do we keep Mane even though he's up against Spurs and doesn't have a double game week? So this really is the bane of every hyper FPL strategy's existence, where as soon as double game weeks come to the front of the discussion, you start to ignore all of these really great assets who just have single game weeks. And inevitably, it's been Spurs in years past. They will come to haunt us because we ignore them.
Yeah, it's a really tricky consideration. It's one that is easy to forget about right now because, you know, they play Spurs in 32, and even though it's a home match, their players are so expensive, it's kind of easy just to cut all of them, right? Yep. I don't think I'm going to have a single Liverpool player in 32. And then you get to have three again in 33, right? Because you probably still have – you had three from the game week before. And then in double 34 when you – yeah. And in 34, you'll be wildcarding. They play Chelsea at home. Maybe you keep one, you know, but like they don't have a double game week and there's a lot of teams that are very good that do have doubles. I mean, you know, in 35, Spurs will have a double. Man United will have a double. Man City will have a double. Your beloved Brighton will have a double. You know, Watford is going to have a double. It's just, you know, there's a lot of teams that like have players that you'd want, maybe not Watford, but like, you know, players you'd want who have doubles. And, you know, Arsenal are going to have a double. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to hold on to their players, but it is a way to Cardiff. It's like a pretty easy fixture. And then they play Huddersfield at home in game week 36, and you'd want someone for that too. I mean, there's a possible triple captaincy option there for someone like, you know, Salah or Mane, you know, if Salah ever rediscovers his form, you know. So it's a tricky one for sure.
So where are we with the Mane versus Salah? If Mane's performance against Fulham didn't convince you that he's the player to have over Salah, then you're a fool, I suppose.
Yeah, Salah's done. It's over. I mean, you know, you shouldn't have Salah. If you don't have a wild card to play with or free hit ship, you should be getting rid of him. I mean, that's just all there is to it. He's a 13.5 million player who has like two assists, you know, in the last, like, okay, let's like, what are, well, how, I haven't actually like looked at this because I'm too scared to, but let's see. He's got, so he last scored, he has one goal in the last 8 game weeks and one goal and one assist in the last 8 game weeks. And he like basically dominates your whole team, right? You can't make moves because you have Sal on your squad. Yeah. Easy player to get rid of, in my opinion.
Yeah. So the way I'm looking at it is come Huddersfield in game week 36, I think the trick will be to see how I can fit a Liverpool defender back into my lineup, because I do like that run in. And if Liverpool excel at anything this season, it's defending. So Virgil van Dijk at 6.6 mil, I think my eyes will be on him after I've played my wild card. The challenge will be to the rest of the league, to the players like Sterling and Aguero and Kane. Can they play well enough to keep Liverpool midfielders out of my mind for the end of the season? Because I think I can see it playing out to where I don't need any Liverpool attackers for the rest of the season. I mean, if their attack continues to be kind of as anemic as it is, then I can live without them.
Yeah. In reference to Uppercut Panda's question about whether you'd, you know, if you didn't have a free hit, would you hold on to Mane for game week 32? I'd be very tempted to. I really would. I would, even if I had, you know, yeah, I mean, is he really, I mean, first of all, like Spurs' defense has not been good. It's not looked good at all for many, many game weeks now. I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't burn points to bring him out. That's definitely for sure. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I feel like it's completely reasonable to roll with Mane, even with a single, with all the other doubles.
Yeah. All right. So that's Liverpool. Do we need to really touch on anything else here in with regard to our power ranking?
No, I don't think so. You keep hoping they'll be better, you know, like, yeah, especially on the road. I guess it keeps working, you know. It's like they barely beat Fulham, they barely beat Huddersfield in these road matches, and I guess that's the plan. I don't know. The plan is to like squeeze these road matches out, and I don't know. They are temporarily top of the table. I mean, Man City have a game in hand.
It's such a weird story. Yeah. Last season, Liverpool are just like scorching hot fire, and they didn't even come close to first place. I mean, I guess they finished first in the form table in the calendar year of 2018, but they're just kind of squeaking by to number one right now.
All right, weird.
Manchester City currently in second place, 74 points, and they're running on a lot of different fronts right now, which we have to take into consideration. Like Liverpool, still in Champions League, they're playing away at Spurs April 9th. That's when their first leg of that tie happens. Also, still in the FA Cup, they'll face Brighton the weekend before that Champions League fixture.
Yep.
And likelihood of a really tantalizing double in game week 32 with Fulham and Cardiff yet to be confirmed, but basically confirmed. So we're going to be eyeing a triple up on Man City for 32. And then in 35, the likely double is going to be home Spurs away at Old Trafford for a Manchester derby. What do you think about that run? I mean, it's kind of front loaded to where I'm pretty excited about my free hit, and I have some curiosities about my wild card.
Well, I guess the advantage of them having two tough fixtures in 35 is they have to play a strong team in those matches. Mm-hmm. So,
good point.
You know, and they're definitely going to, you know, I mean, any match they play at home, they're going to score a couple at least. So, and then you just have to wonder if they can score a goal or two away to Man United, and I would expect them to, you know. So, so that 35 is fine. I mean, my feeling about 32 is, okay, I'm just going to tell you straight up, I'm going to have Laporte, Sterling, and Aguero. I'm going to have those three. And that's all there is to it. And I honestly don't care if one of them doesn't even play in one of the. I'm not going to worry about it because I would I would want all three of those players, especially Sterling and Aguero, for even one of those fixtures. And if they play in both, then it's just a bonus. You know, it's like, who cares? Like, you're going to get Aguero at home to Cardiff or away to Fulham. Like, he's not going to not start in either of those two, you know, and come out of the break. So, I mean, you know, and same with Sterling for that matter, you know, I mean, Sterling's going to play for England. I'm not sure if Aguero is played for, is he just done with Argentina? Like, is he still like with the squad? I feel like he hasn't been called up at all the last 6 months.
I think he FaceTimes during training. That's how I think he approaches it.
It's like talking to his, it's like when we have our daughter talk to grandma. Yeah, I like that.
I'm with you. I think there's no reason to complicate matters when you're looking at your team with Manchester City. Aguero and Sterling nailed on. There's no real reason to try and fit in some sort of differential that's not going to work, be it Bernardo Silva or David Silva or anybody else. So it's Aguero, Sterling, and a defender. I'm leaning toward Ederson myself, but it's kind of 6-1, half dozen of the other.
Yeah. By the way, confirmed Aguero is not playing for Argentina. I just looked up as you were talking.
We've got a confirmation. Higuain is showing up in his dad jeans asking where his locker is. Is that what's still going on?
We're gonna look back at the Higuain half a year and just laugh, aren't we? Like, he scored like one goal against Fulham and two against Huddersfield. Like, the sum total of his accomplishments. Yeah,
I feel like we've seen him face more demons on the pitch than have goal scoring opportunities.
He just stands there like a statue with no idea what's going on. It's like, it doesn't seem like he's ever talked to anybody on that team before.
He's like, wow, everything's just moving so fast.
Ball comes his way. He plays like he and I would play for that. He looks like a half-hearted, like he kind of looks around at it and he's like, ah, shoot, I missed my chance. It's like, this is such a waste.
Hope I get closer next time.
Maybe like Giroud scoring like three goals like every match he plays. It's just such a silly situation. I can understand having Ederson over Laporte. I mean, Laporte did, rewarded you so much in that last double game week, too.
He did, the goal threat. Here's the debate. Is Laporte's goal threat equaled by Ederson's assist threat?
That's true. I mean, it's like it's neck and neck for sure. What, 2-1 like that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's right. It's a debate. It kind of just depends on how your team shakes out, whether you have room for the City goalkeeper or Laporte. Yeah, Laporte's goal threat is pretty compelling. Yeah.
They're about the same price, aren't they? I feel like they're about the same price. Well, Laporte is 5.9. Ederson is 5.6. So, you know, that 0.3 might make a difference depending on how your team shakes out. So I think they're both fine. That's a coin flip. Either one would be fine.
Yeah. All right, the other Manchester team, Manchester United, currently in fifth place in a dogfight for top four. Also in the Champions League still, and they're playing Barcelona on April 10th. No big deal there. So the big debate here is, how do you attack Manchester United for game week 32? Paul Pogba has struggled recently in terms of FPL form. And we have a couple questions about United's defense. Mateus Knudsen asks, United defense, yay, nay? And also Robert Barlow, specifically on Luke Shaw. Talk to us about the 10 bookings rule. Luke Shaw's on 9. Do we know if there's amnesty yet or if he's likely to be a Shar or a Bennett? So just quick point on the yellow card suspension rule. Luke Shaw just has to make it through the next game week without getting his 10th yellow card.
Is that
and then
right?
He has till the rest of the season.
That is so tense. Yep. Wow. Just one match. So not even all of game week 32, just the first match of that game week.
Yeah, it's through April 1st, I think, is the cutoff. So you could see a situation where he could get a yellow card in the first match of game week 32, and then you'd miss him for the second. So if you're looking at Manchester United defense, and we could talk about this, I think, you know, the divining rod starts to point to Lindelof there at 5.1. And, you know, I just don't. Luke Shaw's attacking threat is pretty interesting.
He looks good. Yeah.
But I just don't want to take I don't want to level that risk to my FPL.
Only one goal and three assists on the season for Luke Shaw too. I mean, it's actually the Lindelof is barely worse. He's got one goal and one assist. And yeah, I like the idea of having Man United defender for this double game week. I think Paul Pogba was a great option. I think he's a kind of a perfect vice captain option too. I think he's definitely somebody I'd consider for that. I don't really get the Rashford love. Like, a lot of people are talking about him for the double. And I mean, I feel about Hazard. I'm just like, are we watching the same games? Like, this guy like has done nothing since Lukaku has been central. I mean, I guess it depends on whether Lukaku is back, you know? I mean, I guess if he doesn't play, then Rashford is, going to play in the forward role. But I don't know. I mean, I guess they kind of both are already. It's like a 4-4-2, right? So I don't know. It's just are you feeling the Rashford thing? Is he in your free hit chip squad right now?
Yeah, Rashford is currently in my free hit squad. And, you know, that's more for budgetary reasons. And I don't feel awesome about it. But yeah, I see what you mean. And Lukaku has not really helped anyone on this Manchester United team achieve the great levels that they were reaching before Lukaku was back fit again, including Pogba. But Rashford is, you know, he's still out there and scoring goals. He scored a very cosmetic goal against Wolves in the FA Cup quarterfinal match. He's still out there doing his thing. So it's not like I don't see Rashford as a player that's playing bad. I just see Rashford being impacted slightly by a change in system. So, that is a problem that has to be considered. I don't disagree with you totally.
Yeah.
But I think if you have a hole big enough to slot Rashford in, I'd consider it. Obviously, I am considering it.
I guess, and it sort of depends on what your squad like. We'll talk about this a lot more in the part two of our podcast. But I think there's a real – it's kind of Hazard versus Kane is a real question, I think. And if you – don't go Hazard, I think you probably have the money to go Kane And then I do think I prefer Kane in that Rashford role. So
that's a good point.
Want to talk about more later, I guess.
Yeah, and that's something I haven't reckoned with just yet. And I guess we'll be talking about Harry Kane in a brief moment here, but I haven't tried to fit Kane into my free hit squad just yet. So I suspect once I do that, my current team is going to be scattered to the wind.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to like totally just dismiss as our entirely. I mean, I don't want to go back. Let's move forward. All right. So Newcastle, they are in 13th place, 35 points. 13th place seems kind of perfect based on their season so far. They are a 13th place kind of team, right?
Yeah.
Recover from the shaky start. Still have good fixtures. But again, they're in this Bournemouth Burnley category where it's like, they're not going to be a big fantasy team for us for the next few game weeks, right? Like, they play Arsenal away in 32. They play Palace at home in 33. It's a great fixture. And I don't actually have any Newcastle coverage right now. And I think that game week could hurt me. I don't know. I mean, but after that, I feel like I'm done with them, right? I'm not going to have them 34, 35, anything like that.
Yeah, and don't be sucked in by their game week 38 fixture against Fulham. I mean, that's a classic match in which Fulham will be, roundly relegated, but they will be in front of their home fans. And sometimes you can see teams like that really put on a show for their home fans in a futile way.
Yeah, that's true. It's a little bit like Huddersfield, where they're just down now. So like maybe the pressure's off a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, let's move right on to Southampton. Kind of an interesting team. The 16th place, but I don't think anyone really worries about them going down anymore. They've got a pretty fairly easy end to the season. And they have two double game weeks. They will be playing, probably double game week in 32 and in 34. I think it's like Brighton and Watford. It's not totally determined who they're going to play yet. So
I think that it may be that they only have one double game week, and it could be in 32 or 35.
That's right.
Depends on when it gets rescheduled.
Clarifying that. Yep.
Yeah, but that said, whether it's 32 or 35, it's Brighton Watford or Newcastle Watford, and you would maybe favor a Southampton defender there. I mean, Valerie at 4.0, he's shown some ability to score goals and be attacking, and that's super cheap for a starting defender. I think Valerie's kind of taken Bednarek's place as the value defender to have here.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, can I talk you into James Ward-Prowse?
Well, sure. I mean, he probably deserves more credit than he's gotten on the pod. I mean, shout out to front of the podcast, Stephanie Anderson, who brought him in before his goal in game week 30. He scored, four matches in a row now, three matches in a row, but six times in the last nine matches. I don't think we said like word one about Prowse, and he scored six times in the last nine matches in the season. He's got 13 bonus points. I mean, all six of his goals in the season have come in the last nine. Yeah. So, I mean, it seems like Huizenhoedel is... It seems like where were all these players when Mark Hughes was here? It's like Bednarek and
Mark Hughes didn't have a clue.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, it's kind of I think there's some options. I mean, like you said, there's some really cheap players. I mean, they're kind of, especially if they have a while, 32, I don't know if I'm going to have any Southampton players, but for that 34 wild card, if that ends up being Newcastle and Watford as a double for them, probably does make sense to have someone like Ward-Prowse, doesn't it? I mean, cheap double game week. You just need one goal from him. He's 5.1 million. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yep.
Given his form, it does seem like that's a reasonable shout.
Yeah. All right. So Spurs, as we mentioned, they're going to be in their new stadium midway through the double game week against Crystal Palace. Currently sitting third place in the table with 61 points. Also in the Champions League. So many English teams.
So impressive. Yep. Job. Yep.
And they're facing Man City 4-9. So I've marked two players here that we need to keep our eye on. The first one is Harry Kane.
Sure.
His
very famous player.
Yeah, very famous. The second player for Spurs that we should flag is a lesser known player, Kevin Kane. Harry Kane's evil twin brother. I really see no reason to. Harry Kane is priced high enough to encompass a a Spurs triple up. So why have anyone else? Part of me wanted to put Danny Rose on my players to watch for Spurs, but the fact that they're gonna be going for this this Champions League tie against Man City and Pochettino's penchant for rotating his fullbacks.
Yeah.
Even though I like the look of Danny Rose right now, I just don't want to take that gamble. Harry Kane or bust for me.
Yeah, it's a I agree. I mean, it's amazing that Son has gone from must own to like also ran, you know, so quickly. I mean, I don't think he's going. He's getting called up for South Korea, is he, for the internationals? And so maybe he'll finally get some rest. I don't want to dismiss him entirely, especially now that his price is down to 8.6 million. Ownership is down to 15%. They have some excellent fixtures coming up, right? I mean, you know, that's just, you're right. I mean, the problem is they play Man City in the Champions League, and it's just, you know, Harry Kane, you know, hasn't logged as many match minutes as some of his teammates this year. So he seems like the one lock. And I do agree. I mean, Son is always, you know, prone to the occasional rest. I mean, the thing is, you know, the first match of that home stadium, I've got to imagine they're going to roll out their best possible squad. You know, I mean, you know, I don't think you roll out a team of substitutes. You know, you don't roll out your Lucas Moraes for that match.
Walker,
you know?
Peters up front.
Yeah, exactly. What an amazing, that is that going to be the weirdest stat of the season, that Walker Peters scored 18 of his 20 points in the season in one game week with a well, trio of assists? It's so bizarre.
He's good company with Carlin Grant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Carlin Grant thing was amazing. Didn't he almost have a hat trick too? Didn't Grant like just miss a goal at the end there?
We are living in the age of Grant right now. I only recognize two athletes, Horace Grant and Carlin Grant.
Defenders for Spurs, we don't even need to talk about them, right? There's no one you'd want, no one you'd consider.
Yeah, no, no.
They're too expensive.
No. Too expensive, but yeah, obviously it's kind of exciting that Spurs will come back into our thoughts after I feel like they've been absent for so long while we've been planning for these blanks. So it'll be fun to have Kane back in the discussion. He adds a little juice.
He does add a little juice, and he's a fun player to have in your team because he's just a guy who scores goal. I mean, like, he is to me like the perfect captain for a double game week because he just scores, and it kind of doesn't matter where he is. And I would definitely consider captaining him in game week 32. Maybe he blanks in that Liverpool match, but that Crystal Palace match could be so good that it kind of makes up for it. So all right, Brandon, we got three more teams to go. First of these three teams is Watford. I have only had a Watford player on my team for, I think, one actual game week this season. I had Kiko Femenia for one match, and it didn't work out. And that was it. I haven't had any fun with Watford this year. I'm glad they're doing well. I can't believe they're in eighth place. Looks like that Watford swoon is not going to happen this year. They are in the semifinals of the FA Cup. And so I think the concern, and they did rest a bunch of players, you know, before the Man City match. And so you do wonder if, you know, is there some risk in bringing in Watford players because they might get rested before their semifinal with Wolves? I think that has to be a very serious consideration.
Yeah, I kind of wish Watford was playing Man City so they could get their asses beat and then they'd definitely be out. And then I could just go, you know, take a flyer on Troy Deeney ahead of the possible double in game week 35, because they could have Huddersfield Fulham for a double in 35, which would be absolutely electric. And then I would weirdly be advocating for somebody like Troy Deeney, and that would kind of be hilarious and awesome.
I mean, if they play Huddersfield and Fulham in 35, that is you've got to have a Watford player, right? It's crazy. Like you might have to have two. Like you might have to load up on Watford. You know, it would not be unreasonable. And their final run out is not bad either. I mean, so you load up on them, and then you've got Wolves in 36, West Ham in 38. Way to Chelsea in 37, but Chelsea may be like in that like sixth place limbo by then, where they're trying to lose so much they don't have to play in the Europa League next year.
Yes, yeah.
So it's a tricky one.
Yeah, yeah. But it'll be interesting to see how that Wolves-Watford FA Cup match shakes out, and it kind of all hinges on that.
Yeah.
All right.
Have you had any Watford players this year? Do you have Britos at one point?
I did have Britos, and it seems like every time I bring in a Watford defender, like everyone, it blows up in your face.
Yeah, that's true.
So either they get a red card or they get injured or something. Yep. So,
yep.
I mean,
something always goes wrong.
I've certainly admired them this season, but it's just never come to be.
They're cheap. They will be a team to reckon with in fantasy, in the weeks to come, but not quite yet, I suppose. All right, West Ham, they are in ninth place. Wait, what? Ninth place? That seems high.
like Bournemouth seeming too low, West Ham in ninth place, much, much, much too high for what could be the flakiest team in the division right now. we can categorize them in the what we've been talking about recently of it's kind of over for them with no more doubles. Yep. And their
yep.
assets really not ranking too high on our list to advocate for them. I mean, they've got Everton, Chelsea, United coming up. It's not terribly appealing right now to be a West Ham player.
No, it's not. I will, hold on to my two players for 33. I probably won't start Declan Rice away to Chelsea if I can avoid it. And then they're gone. And I won't have a single player from West Ham the rest of the season. So congrats to you on your inexplicable ninth place. And see you in the 2019-20 season, West Ham.
Amazing.
All right, one team left here. Wolves, they are seventh, a deserved seventh. They've been possibly the single most fun team to watch this year, outside of the top six teams, and maybe even including most of them. They are in the FA Cup. Again, I guess the concerns you'd have about Watford, you'd have about Wolves as well. They might rest a little bit. I suppose Jimenez, there is a little bit of rest concern there. I hadn't actually even thought about that until just now, but I'm going to roll with them anyway because I just love their run out to end the season.
Yeah, FPL Ant on our Slack asked that question. Am I dismissing Wolves because they might prioritize the cup? Is this a mistake? And a player like Jimenez is the player that you have to talk about, where he's been among the more electric attacking value players this entire season. And it feels
right.
A shame to just dismiss him for fear of rotation.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to apologize to Alex Suarez if he's listening. I was very dismissive of his free hit team that he posted on the RMT channel because I said it's invalid. It doesn't have Jimenez.
Well, I mean, the thing is the fixture right before their semifinal match is a home match to Man United. And I don't see him being rested for that. Maybe he gets rested for the Burnley match before that, but then that doesn't really seem like that's necessary, out of an international break. So I think he probably plays in those three. I mean, I guess if anything, you might be worried about game week 34 where they play Southampton. But even then, I mean, I like their fixtures in 35, it'll be Brighton and Arsenal. And then, 36 through 38, they play Watford, Fulham, and Liverpool. Liverpool away in 38, that's not a great fixture. But other than that, it's a pretty good run-in.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there is some concern, but there's so much good here to look at and to focus on. And, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. And
yeah.
And Jota at 6.1, I think doubling up on Wolves might be a little too rich, considering what we've just talked about, but maybe that's an interesting way to cover yourself if you don't think both Jimenez and Jota will get rested in the same match.
He's had a great second half of the season, Jota. I mean, he's really
he's made up for lost time.
Player. Yeah, I mean, in the end, he's on 6 goals and 7 assists on the season with they have a game to play still, so he's got 8 weeks to go. I mean, he could finish on. It's been like 10 goals and 10 assists on the season, which is for a debut season is pretty spectacular. He just started so poorly. Brandon, that is it. That took us, about 30 minutes? That's pretty fast to go through all 20 teams. I'm not looking at the clock right now, but
put 5 lightning round questions together, and that's how long it took us, I think. Yeah, fantastic. Yep. So, let's sign off. Of course, as you said, we're going to be back later in the week or this weekend with proper game week 32 preview, and we'll reveal what how our free hit 32 teams are shaping up. But until then, we'll thank our producers now. Josh, do you want to thank the producers?
I would love to. Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Carl Rasmus, Laney Granley, Chris Howell, Rafay Khan, go Vols, by the way, Chris Howell, even though you were teasing me about us being in Duke's bracket, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, Debate Gaffer, Danny Evans, Babas Kuhn, Tor Ferland, Hoosby Berkeley Dreams, that's a good one, Ben Grant, James Holland, Matt Ritter, and Oyvind Anderson. Congrats to... not congrats. Thank you. Congrats. I was going to say, well, congrats for being our patrons. Thank you for being the for supporting the podcast.
I think we can congratulate them for being in great company because they're all wonderful producers.
It's true. Congratulations, their good taste. And thank you to everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon. If you would like to support the podcast, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. And as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, we have a couple of Patreon exclusive pods coming later this week or over the next 2 weeks. Anyway, let's say.
Yeah, and subscribe to the podcast where you can get it for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, wherever it is that you subscribe to find podcasts. And if you're on iTunes or anywhere else, feel free to give us a 5-star review. That does help us achieve 2 million listens at some point down the way. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Instagram, we're at Hail Cheaters. Facebook.com/alwayscheating. Send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. For all this information and more, just pay us a visit to our website, alwayscheating.com.
That's right. All right, Brandon, I will be back next week and I will have a free hit team to share with you. I'm excited about it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go Michigan State too. Come on, everybody. Let's root for our Spartans.
I'll be back too, if anyone was wondering.
you went there too. We're watching together. It's gonna be exciting.
All right. Hail Poku.
Bye.